Hello, my friends. D.L. Anderson here. Welcome back to Transformation by Truth podcast as we share the truth concerning these last days and what you must do to save yourself from the violent times that are just ahead. Today's podcast is a word of truth accounting of the end times. The end is coming. The end is near. Today's podcast is entitled End Times 272, A Summary of the People of the Ceiling, Part 2. The podcast's objectives are analyze the importance of hearing the voice of the Spirit, reveal how we are qualified for the millennial kingdom, reveal what the law was designed to do, reveal what it will take to inherit the promise of everlasting life, and restate the great dilemma of the law. This lesson contains timelines and other visuals. Therefore, if you are listening to the podcast, I advise you to watch the video version on our website or YouTube, or request a PDF of the lesson so you can add the visual effect. The eternal damage they have done. Now, we concluded the most recent podcast revealing how the chosen elect will endure terrific measures of afflictions, pressures, and distress in these last days. Notwithstanding, we also revealed how the seal of Elohim is our great insulator. On this wise, the seal of Elohim will provide us with the power to endure every test and trial that is waiting for us during the time of the great distress. And trust me, there will be many, and they will be great. Nevertheless, we can rest assured concerning a key reality related to the great distress. To wit, those who possess the seal of Elohim will survive this terrible season of unparalleled death. When the smoke clears, we, my friends, will still be here. Considering how more than 6 billion men, women, and children will not be here, we should not overconcern ourselves with what we will have to endure in those days, specifically because the Spirit is preparing us for those days even now. Now, if you've been paying attention, then you understand that the ceiling of these set apart ones as a season is all about preparation. And the seal of Elohim is, within and of itself, the focus of our preparations. Yes, we are preparing for the impending financial crisis. Yes, we are preparing for the next health crisis. Yes, we are preparing for famine and food shortages. Yes, we are preparing to flee from Mystery Babel. And yes, we are preparing for the next world war. And yet, in all our preparations, if we do not have the seal of Elohim, it will all be in vain. Hear me carefully, my friends. You can be prepared for every natural disaster coming to our world. And yet, you will still die if you do not have the seal of Elohim. Here is why. Being prepared for the time of the great distress is only the first half of the equation. The second and more critical half is having the spiritual wherewithal to navigate a world on fire with very few safe spaces left. Lo, this is where the seal of Elohim comes in. For it is not only your great insulator, my dear friends, the seal of Elohim is also your great navigator. This truth constitutes the highest level of life and death criticality. Here is why. The first false step you take during the great distress will be your last. In this regard, you should view the world during the great distress as a death maze. There is only one way out, and every path that is not aligned with this one way is a death trap. This is where the seal comes in. Here again, as it is a super feature of the set-apart spirit, it qualifies us to receive the guidance required to succeed this death maze. And there is no other faculty that can provide us with this level of guidance. This is why those who do not have the seal will perish. It is because they will be forced to lean unto their own understanding. They will be forced to navigate a world on fire in a maze of death by their own power and by their own might. Lo, this is why I have constantly emphasized the infinite value of the seal of Elohim, and I will continue to do so. And in doing so, I will also emphasize one of the most important signs of the seal. That is, the easiest and perhaps the most powerful way to validate you indeed have the seal. And as this knowledge is indeed a treasure, I will offer it to you as a treasure box. Receive this word of truth, my friends, and live. The only way we can validate that we will indeed be led by the Spirit and the seal of Elohim during the great distress is by being led in the current season. For that reason, if you are not routinely hearing the voice of the Spirit in this day, you will not hear his voice in that day. You will not hear him in the great distress. Now, this shouldn't be too hard to appreciate or understand. And yet, many are preparing to go into the great distress without an effectual prayer life. That is one of the most prominent of the seven pillars of our faith. And as I said before, for many of them, it's already too late. Even though the season of sealing has not yet ended, the day of salvation for them has indeed come and gone. For when Elohim called out to them, they did not answer. When he told them what they would have to do to obtain his seal, they would not hear. When the Spirit bathed them, crying, "You're not going to make it. You're going to need more oil. You will die in your sin," they would not repent. And although they didn't realize it then, they will come to know the eternal damage they have done to their souls, for they will never hear his voice again. Qualified for the kingdom. Now, these matters being what they are, it should be clear that our ability to hear the voice of the Spirit is the fundamental indicator that we have the seal of Elohim. Here again, we discussed this matter thoroughly in the first podcast in this phase. From there, we discussed the message the Spirit is sharing with the chosen elect in this season, vis-a-vis the critical requirement upon the seal of Elohim. That is, we must become doers of the word and not hearers only. This speaks to the spiritual models of content and intent. To wit, we cannot enter the millennial kingdom if we do not follow the Torah of perfection. For the Torah of perfection is the manifestation of the content and the intent of the restoration message. Now, we invested a great deal of time analyzing the Torah of perfection. And so, I'm not going to restate all the points I have already made. I would, however, invest some time hardening the case I have already made. For there are hundreds of scriptures I could have used in affirming my case. And yet, for the sake of time, I constrained myself to only using 10. To begin with, I would like to remind you why the former nation experienced spiritual and physical death. It is for the following reason. And if you did not bookmark it before, I advise you to bookmark it now. The former nation of Israel was destroyed because they would not guard the commands of Elohim. Plainly speaking, they refused to become doers of the word. Lo, here lies the inflection and the primary difference between the former nation and the renewed nation. Whether they are planting or watering, the men and women within the renewed nation of Israel are, quite simply, doers of the word. And we are doers of the word for one simple reason. We have the mind of Yahushua Messiah, for we are being transformed into his spiritual image and likeness as we follow his Torah of perfection. This is how we know we are qualified for the millennial kingdom, and why Yahushua Messiah will certify our election. For there are grounds for him to provide us with the seal of Elohim. This shouldn't be too hard to understand, for the simple fact that the Torah of perfection is the Torah of Yahushua Messiah. It is his Torah. And this, my friends, is quite simply why his Torah of perfection is the common denominator between all who will inherit the millennial kingdom. Isaiah 42, 1 through 4 reads, "See, my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one, my being has delighted in. I have put my spirit upon him. He brings forth right ruling to the nations. He does not cry out, nor lifts up his voice, nor causes his voice to be heard in the street. A crushed reed he does not break, and smoking flax he does not quench. He brings forth right ruling in accordance with truth. He does not become weak or crushed until he has established right ruling in the earth, and the coastlands wait for his Torah." What the law was designed to do. Decisively, this passage in Isaiah forecasts the origination of the Torah of perfection, and it establishes the Torah of perfection as the governing law of the millennial kingdom, i.e., the kingdom of Yahushua Messiah. Lo, this is as powerful as it is plain to see. Isaiah, who lived during the time in which the former nation of Israel was under the law, reveals that Yahushua Messiah would establish right ruling in the earth, and that the nations were waiting for his Torah. This reality reveals a key fact concerning the law of Moses. It is not an indictment against the law, Rather, it is a revelation of the true intent of the law and the purpose for the Torah of Yahushua Messiah. Receive this word of truth. The Torah of perfection was designed to do what the law of Moses could not do, that is, establish right ruling in the earth. All you have to do is read through the biblical Old Testament, and you will see the persistent rebellion, idolatry, and disobedience of the former nation, a nation who was under the law. Likewise, all you have to do is follow the prophetic word, and you will see how the millennial kingdom will be governed by Yahushua Messiah and his Torah of perfection. And unlike the disastrous frames of man's day, which we have witnessed until now, his kingdom will be wonderfully depicted by 1,000 years of peace on earth and goodwill for the remnant of man. Now, as I said before, this is not an indictment against the law of Moses. My dear friends, the law did exactly what it was supposed to do, vis-a-vis, the law exposed sin. And in exposing sin, the law placed a curse upon all men. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are of works of the law are under the curse. For it has been written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all that has been written in the book of the law to do them. Not only this, but by placing a curse upon all men, for all have sinned and fallen short of the esteem of Elohim. The word of Elohim shut up all mankind under sin. And as the wages of sin is death, we concluded there is no path to salvation within the law of Moses. Lo, this is why all the nations were waiting for the Torah of Yahushua Messiah, the Torah of perfection. For, unlike the law, the Torah of perfection provides us with direct access to the promise of everlasting life by belief in Yahushua Messiah. Galatians 3:22 and 29. But the scripture has shut up all mankind under sin, that the promise by belief in Yahushua Messiah might be given to those who believe. And if you are of Messiah, then you are of the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Obedient and faithful until death. Now, from this passage in Galatians 3, we spent 3 podcasts evaluating the Torah of perfection and the law of Moses. In my estimation, the simplest way to understand the evolution of these 2 doctrines is by understanding the evolution of the nation of Israel. And here we have a chart showing the evolution of the nation of Israel. And we will spend the rest of this podcast going over this chart. Now, first of all, there are many revelations from the graphic to the right, and I will disclose a few of them before we continue the summary of the people and places of the ceiling. First of all, as you can see, by the far left of this graphic, the former nation was instituted before the law. In effect, the former nation of Israel existed for almost 350 years without the law of Moses. The question of the hour then is, what belief system was the former nation under prior to the law? The answer, they were under the dispensation of promise, to wit, the covenant Yahuwah Elohim made with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob. Now look, it's time for a revelation. The covenant Yahuwah made with Abraham, Yitzhak, and Jacob includes fractions of the law. And these great men guarded the commands which were imparted to them in the spirit of obedient faith in the promise. Now, here lies the primary difference between the dispensation of promise and the dispensation of the law. Vis-a-vis, the promise, unlike the law, was neither founded nor focused on the exposition and condemnation of sin. Quite the contrary, the promise was founded and focused on the faith required to keep the law and eventually the Torah of perfection. In this regard, the law is an evolution of the promise, the same way that the Torah of perfection is an evolution of the law. And the single thread that unites and binds these three dispensations of truth is the spirit of obedient faith that is accounted as righteousness, which is the basis for our justification. Romans 4, 13 to 25 reads, "For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith has been made void, and the promise has been made of none effect. On account of this, the promise is of faith, that it be according to favor, for the promise to be made certain to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it has been written, I have made you a father of many nations, who against all hope did believe in expectation, so that he should become the father of many nations." He did not hesitate about the promise of Elohim through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving esteem to Elohim, and being completely persuaded that what he had promised, he was also able to do. Therefore, also, it was reckoned to him for righteousness. And not because of him alone was it written that it was reckoned to him, but also because of us, to whom it shall be reckoned, to us who believe in him who raised up Yahushua, our master, from the dead, who was delivered up because of our trespasses and was raised again for our justification. Now, amongst other things, this powerful passage of scripture reveals a critical matter, which I will offer in the form of an interest point. Of all the takeaways in this summary, this is one you really need to get. And in all thy getting, get understanding. The promise of everlasting life was not given to Abraham or his seed by the law. On the rather, it was given to us by the righteousness of faith. Therefore, all who are of the faith of Abraham, being fully persuaded in all things in accordance with the Father's will, to the point where they are prepared to be obedient and faithful until death, these are heirs of the promise of everlasting life. Hallelujah. The great dilemma of the law. Now, these matters confirm my original point. That is, the dispensation of promise preceded the dispensation of the law. And thus, the law cannot be in contradiction to the promise. The problem with the law was not in concept. Rather, it was in execution. Plainly speaking, the problem with the law had nothing to do with the law. Quite the contrary, the great dilemma of the law had to do with the fact that the former nation wouldn't keep it. This is why the former nation experienced spiritual death in 33 CE, as you can see by the graphic to the right. Now, in this same year, the renewed nation of Israel was born. This birth is the focus of the next takeaway I want to discuss as it relates to this graphic. Specifically, the fact that there is a short period of time where both the renewed nation of Israel and the former nation coexist. This coexistence is the foundation of a very powerful and interesting study that we could in no wise complete in a short amount of time, not even a summary. And so we will table this discussion and pick it back up as we continue the third installation of this high-level summary of the people and the places of the sealing of the set apart ones. Now, here is the final word. We must be sealed, lest we die. But first, we must be qualified. This is the message of the hour. It doesn't matter who we think we are. Yahuwah has a standard of holiness and perfection we all must meet to obtain the seal. And thus, I advise you, don't be like the former nation, who missed out on the promise because they would not obey. Rather, enter the renewed nation and make up your mind to stay. Now, here is what's next. We completed today's podcast, End Times 272, a summary of the people and places of the sealing, part 2. And the next podcast is entitled End Times 273, a summary of the people and places of the sealing, part 3. I will post this podcast on Monday, April 29th, 2024. Until then, my friends, continue to be led by the Spirit of Elohim. Continue to watch. Continue to pray. Continue in fasting. And most of all, continue to be focused, for the end is coming. The end is near.